Okay, sure. So here's some fun extender over here.
Yeah.
Here's some sheets you can pass them around. Not like a, it doesn't block the paper. Strange.
Yeah, no, it's kind of
awesome. Okay, so it's a pleasure to come and speak here at the Yula Girls Midrashah Night, a very special program. From what I understand, to get together the students and the parent body and women of the community to be able to join together to learn. Very, very special, and it's meaningful to me to be invited to speak here as well. What I want to talk about tonight, if you have an extra copy, I got a single side of something on one of them. So I want to talk tonight about the topic of Hataras Nedarim. Hataras Nedarim, I believe, is a sugya, a topic in halacha. I don't know if we really have a good handle on it. I don't know if we really understand exactly what it's about, exactly where it comes from, exactly what it's trying to do for us. The truth is, if you learn Maseches Chagiga, the very end of Maseches Chagiga, there's a Mishnah, which says that even Chazal, even the Gemara, even the Mishnais didn't understand the idea of Hataras Nedarim, of allowing Nedarim. We understand that a person has the ability to take upon themselves a neder, to make a vow that something should be usur, or something should become a mitzvah for them to do. We get that. You have the ability to make something obligatory. But that you should then be able to reverse that, that you should then be able to go before three rabbis and let them tell you that it never existed, it's as if it never existed, that's a hard concept to really understand, to really internalize, and Chazal themselves struggle with that. They refer to it as Dvarim HaPorchim Ba'avir. They say the concept of Hafaras Nedarim, of being Matir Neder, of allowing a vow, annulling a vow, is something which is floating in the air. It's something le'ela, something above and beyond our comprehension. That was you. Yeah, okay, that was for you. So let's try a little bit to internalize, a little bit to understand, to just get a little bit more of a brief but deeper understanding of what Hataras Nedarim is, where it comes from, and how it applies to the Yom Nuraim. We'll start. Aside from Hataras Nedarim, what's the other case of Nedarim that we see around the time of Yom Nuraim? Not necessarily Rosh Hashanah, but where do we see a concept of Nedarim coming up in the davening? What's the first tefillah we say together at Yom Kippur night? Kol Nidre. What's that word? Kol Nidre. Nidre is the same word, neder, right? Which means vows. What we do in that tefillah, what the chazan is really saying during that tefillah, is kol nidre v'asari, all of the different vows, different types of vows and swears that a person may have made over the course of the year. It sounds like he's saying all of those vows should dissipate. They should be taken away. It's okay. Don't worry. They should all be nullified and annulled. And that's what the kol nidre is supposed to be saying. The truth is, kol nidre, that concept, that's single-sided, so you're going to find the double-sided one. But Kol Nidre, as a minhag, as a practice, as something we say on that first night of Yom Kippur, is a very, very, very old minhag. It's not clear exactly how old it is, but you do find the source for the minhag of saying Kol Nidre all the way back in the Zohar. So depending on what you guys learn in Yula and history class, the Zohar, the way I assume, is a very, very old source. Some academics assume it's a much newer source, but the Zohar is probably a very, very old source as early as the Tanayim from the Mishnayos. So the Zohar already records a practice that on the night of Yom Kippur, we would say something related to Kol Nidre, and we certainly retain that practice. The Vilna Gaon has a very interesting explanation, a remez, a hint to the concept of Kol Nidre, of Hataras Nedarim on Yom Kippur in the Torah. The Psukim and Parshas Matos, and Parshas Matos, those are all the Psukim that tell us all of the dinim of Hataras Nedarim and Hafaras Nedarim. All these dinim that we don't really have the ability to understand so fully, but all these dinim that someone takes a neder and they're able to matter it. A wife takes a neder, the husband's able to matter it. All of these different dinim that come up in the Mishnah, in the Psukim and Parshas Matos. So the Psukim there say, Imheni avia osa. If a woman, a young woman, takes a neder and her father does away with the neder, so it's talking about the parsha of hafaras nedarim, of getting rid of nedarim. The end of that pasuk says, "VeHashem yislach la." Hakadosh Baruch Hu will forgive her. Says the Vilna Gaon, amazing. The very same pasuk that's talking about hataras nedarim is also talking about Hashem yislach la, the time of forgiveness. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's a remez, that's a hint to the concept that hataras nedarim and hafaras nedarim and kol nidre should take place around the time of Slicha, around the time of Yom Kippur, Veheni Avia Osa, VaHashem Yislach La, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive. So in the time of Slicha, in the time of Mechila, that's the time we're focused for some reason on Hataras Nedarim. Where does it come from in Halacha? What's the connection in Halacha? So let's learn a little bit inside. We'll learn some sources inside and we'll see if we can get a better understanding. If you look in source number one, the Mishnah in Nedarim has a fascinating concept. The Mishnah in Nedarim on Chav Gimel Man Aleph says, from Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, that a person we know can take a neder, they can make a vow that they plan to abstain from something, or they plan to commit themselves to do something, a neder, a shvuah, things like that. So they could take a neder, let's say, that they're not going to eat any potato chips all year. Okay, so you could take a neder at the beginning of the year. Some of us might do this every year in January, that we take a neder, we're not going to eat certain foods for the rest of the year. So So we take that nether. So you're stuck unless you have someone be matir your nether, unless later on you regret it. You go to three rabbanim or something, and they say, you know what, it's good to go. You have regret. We take away the nether. Says the mission, an amazing thing. A person can be what's called moser moda'a, which means you can declare in advance. You can say in advance out loud that any nether that I take from here on in, batel. It goes away, it's nullified. Meaning I don't really intend any nedarim that I take in the future. Strange concept. Where does that come from? We'll talk about it soon. But if you look in source number one, with before the bold, it says a person is able to say, Yomer lo, kol neder sha'ani asid lidor hu batel. Any nether that I'm going to take in the future, batel, is nullified in advance. I'm not really going to have that nether on my plate afterwards. So says the Gemara, an amazing thing, in the bold now. Let's say someone says, I don't want to take any nedarim. Nedarim are bad. They're good in theory, but they're bad in practice. That's what the Gemara tells us in multiple places. In theory, it's good to take a nether to strengthen oneself. A person wants to be able to wake up for davening. It's hard to wake up for davening, especially if you don't daven in the minyan every day. What motivates you on a Sunday morning to get up for, I don't know, Zman Kriya Shema, or to daven at all? Maybe I'll sleep till 12. So a person wants to motivate themselves to get up to daven, or to get up to learn, or to do something extra special for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it makes sense to take a vow, to take a nether, to strengthen yourself. I know that if I don't keep this nether, it's a big problem. I'm going to be in big trouble. So now maybe I'll get up for davening, I'll get up to learn, I'll do those types of things. So in theory, it's a good thing to take a nether, right? That's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Nishbati Vakayema, I take shvuos so that I'll fulfill the mitzvos. That's what David HaMelech says. In practice, the Gemara says it's not good. Because people take nedarim, and what happens? They sleep late, right? They violate those nedarim. And you violate nedarim, the Gemara says horrible things happen. The avon at nedarim. When someone violates their vows, terrible, terrible tragedies can occur in the family. And so it's not really kedai, says the Gemara. And at the end of the day, the conclusion is not kedai. It's not a good idea. It's bad advice to take a vow, to take a neder, if you don't really have to. So says the Gemara, a person doesn't want nedarim. So here, again, source number one, the bold. V'ha rotzish lo yizkaim nedarim v'kol shana. I don't want nedarim this year. I don't want to have that on my plate. I don't want that achrayis, that responsibility on my shoulders. Says the Gemara, you could say it like this. Yamod b'rosh Hashanah. You could stand up on Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year, v'yomar, and you can say, kol neder sha'ani asid lidor yehei batel. Every neder that I plan to take in the future, or every neder that I don't plan to take in the future, but I end up taking in the future, batel is nullified. What does that sound like? That sounds like a source for a practice of bli neder for sure. Also, that's a Gemara earlier in Nedarim and Dafav, Dafches, that area. But this is the practice that we're talking about Yom Kippur. Kol Nidre, Kol Neder, every neder I'm going to take in the future. Here the Gemara is talking about Rosh Hashanah. Some of the poskim say Rosh Hashanah is all, Yom Kippur sometimes referred to as Rosh Hashanah. You don't need that. It means the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's all the beginning of the year. So apparently you can say in advance, I want everything that happens this year, no neder. It's going to be gone, the neder. That's what the Gemara seems to say. The Gemara then has a machlokas about some details. Abaye and Rava, the post can discuss, the Farshim discuss whether that's really machlokas or not. But the point is that if you say this in advance, you can preemptively be mevatel all of your nadarim. You could preempt all of those nadarim, those vows, and they won't even come into existence at all. How does that work? How could a person preempt? Let's say right now I say, anything I say in the future, it's not a real nether. If I say later on that I want to take a nether, I don't really mean it. But then 6 months later, I say, I take a nether that I don't want to eat potato chips. So how does that work? How does the first thing you said undo the second thing you said? Anyone have a suggestion? How could it be? I said in the beginning of the year that I don't want a nedarim. Later in the year, I changed my mind and I said I do want a nedar. How does that work? How does that avoid it? So the Mefarshim struggle with that. If you look in source number two, you have the Ran and Nedarim and Daf Ayin Hey. The Ran says an interesting idea. He says that when a person at the beginning of the year, this is a good musar, by the way, for how we're approaching Rosh Hashanah, because we have a certain mindset in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and oftentimes our mindset in the middle of the year flips a little bit, and at least our actions don't represent the mindset we had in Rosh Hashanah by the time, for me, Sukkot comes around, but hopefully for all of us a little bit, at least Chanukah or later, we start to change a little bit from what we were thinking on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But says the Ran a very interesting thing. On Rosh Hashanah, you stand up and say, I want no nedarim this year. I don't want to take any vows. It's a bad idea to take a vow. So I'm saying in advance, anything I say in the future that sounds like it's a neder, I don't really mean it. 6 months later, you get up and say, I take a neder that I'm not going to eat potato chips. So how are you undoing what you said? You said you're taking a neder. Says the Ran like this. That neder that you took 6 months later, it was a toast. It was a mistake. It was clearly it was a poor judgment on your part. You didn't mean it. What do you mean I didn't mean it? Of course I meant it. I said, I take a neder not to eat potato chips. I'm going to say it enough times, I'm going to have to stop eating potato chips. But I take a neder not to eat, which is really hard. I never eat potato chips. I don't know if you have this in the girls' school. If you don't, I'm not sure if you should or shouldn't. It might help with increasing applications. In Eula Boys, they have a snack machine. and they have potato chips that aren't like the Wise potato chips that I ate when I was, they're like kettle, jalapeno, salt and vinegar. So they haven't replaced the salt. I finished, don't tell the guys, I finished the salt and pepper ones. And they haven't refreshed them. They think the kids are like buying them out. I did 100 into singles so I can get more every day. And they haven't replaced them. I switched to jalapeno, finished those also. And I don't want to touch the mosquito. It sounds like a bug. I don't want to eat that one. But anyway, so you take enough nadarim, you're not going to eat potato chips. What are you talking about? You said something in Rosh Hashanah. Says the Ran like this. Yeah. But on Rosh Hashanah, you said, no, that's not me. On Rosh Hashanah, you said, I'm not a person who takes a neder. I'm a person who stays away from taking vows. 6 months later, you decide to take a vow. That was a lack of judgment. That was a slip. But really, the real you was the you who stood on Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any neder that I take in the future, zero. It doesn't exist. I don't want it. You change your mind later in the year, that's not the real you. The real you is the one who stood up there. Says the Ran, he doesn't say it in the Derech Musar, but says the Ran, it's a ta'us. At the beginning of the year, you're koveya, you contextualize everything you're going to do for the rest of the year. And when you say in the beginning of the year that you don't want any nadarim, that means no matter what you say during the year, we revert back to what your initial plan was. It's a Musar and a Chizuk, because we make so many plans and so many ideas and so many goals, and we're striving for so much in that first day of the year. And again, a couple weeks later, a couple months later, it doesn't really materialize. We're not really acting on those goals. But the Ran is telling us in Halacha, and maybe we could approach it a little bit in the Derech of Musar as well, that's not the real you. The real you is the person who's standing behind the Machzor on Rosh Hashanah, standing behind the Machzor on Yom Kippur, and telling Kadosh Baruch Hu what you do want for your year. And in Halacha, that registers and has a real impact. It says that any neder I'm going to take in the future actually doesn't register at all in Halacha, because I said in advance, that's not me, that's not what I want. That's how the Ran explains this concept of what we would think is maybe the idea of Kol Nidre. The truth is, in source number 3 of a different Ran, a Ran earlier in the Masechta Daf Chaf Gimel, where the Ran says explicitly, this Gemara, which says that you should stand up on Rosh Hashanah and say, Kol Neder in the future is not really Neder, etc. That Gemara, says the Ran, is the source for our Minag. If you look in the bold and the underline, Venira, Shemasha Omrim Ktsas Kihilos. Interesting that the Ran says only Ktsas Kihilos. All of the Kihilos by us say Kol Neder, but back then not everyone did. If you look in the Rishonim, you'll find the Gaonim. You start from the beginning. So there are the, let's start from the very beginning. Hashem created the world. We know that. We got there. Okay, we're a couple weeks into school. We should know that by now. Fine. Hashem created the world. He gave the Jewish people the Torah. Then there was a whole Torah Shbal Peh, a whole rich Masorah, a tradition on how we should learn that Torah. So there were Tanaim, and there were Amoraim. Tanaim in the Mishnah, Amoraim in the Gemara. There were Savoraim, which was, it was this in-between stage that sometimes they sneak into the Gemara, sometimes they don't. The Gaonim were the stage right after the Gemara, right before the Rishonim. So a little earlier, if you're thinking of the Rambam and Rashi and all of those Rishonim. So the stage right before that was the Gaonim. So there were Gaonim, plenty of Gaonim in truth. There's Saji Gaon and others of Natronai Gaon who disagreed with the whole idea of Kol Nidre in general. They said no Kol Nidre for us at all. So the Ran, probably some of that still remained in his generation. In our generation, everyone says Kol Nidre, or everyone listens to Kol Nidre. All of that paragraph that we say, this is what they're intending to do. They're taking on themselves now the declaration. They're assuming in advance that anything they say throughout the year should be batel, should be nullified in advance. They don't really want any nethers to register for the rest of the year. That's what the Ran says. The minog of a Kol Nidre is. The problem is, the Ran points this out, it's really Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was one of the Balei Tosfos. All of the Rishonim quote Rabbeinu Tam over here. Rabbeinu Tam points out that if you look at the words in Kol Nidre, it's problematic. Remember, Kol Nidre, the way we're explaining right now, is based on the Gemara Nadarim, which means that you're trying to say, anything I do in advance as a neder, I'm preempting it. I don't want it to actually be a neder. Right? That's Kol Nidre. If you think about the text of Kol Nidre and mumble the part that you mumble when you're in shul also in your head, you'll eventually get to the point where we say, Miyom HaKippurim She'avar Ad Yom Kippurim Hazeh, right? Miyom Kippurim She'avar Ad Yom Kippurim Hazeh. That's strange. What does that mean in English? All of my nedarim, all of my shvuos, all of the things I swore, Miyom HaKippurim She'avar, meaning last Yom Kippur, until Yom Kippurim Hazeh, this Yom Kippur. What does that imply? What's my kol? Well, so we're, but even, that's a very good point. If you said Kol Nidre last year, then what are we even asking for? That's a very good point. But let's ask even more basic. What does that mean? What are you trying to say over here? Kol Nidre, any neder I took, shouldn't be a neder. All the nedarim I took from last year until this year. That's retroactive. That sounds more like what we think of as a hataras nedarim. That sounds like we're saying everything in the past, it wasn't really a neder. But that's not what Kol Nidre is about. The Ran told us Kol Nidre is about going forward, which if you keep going in the Machzor, you have that parentheses, and then you just don't know what to do, and the Nusaf doesn't fit, and you try to like mumble along. But then, Umiyom HaKippurim Hazeh, Adil MeKippurim, and then they sing, And then by then you forget what the Nusach is anyway, so it doesn't matter. But Haba Aleinu Letova, that's actually the next words. Yom HaKippurim Haba, meaning the next one. So the very next line, which is in, again, brackets usually in your Machzor, says, and all of the Nedarim that will be from this Yom Kippur until the next Yom Kippur. Well, what are all these? This is a mishmash. What's going on over here? So this is what the Rishonim talk about. They say, if you read the original text, it sounds like we're talking about last year's Nedarim, which means that Kol Nidre is not about saying in advance, I don't want any Nedarim to register. It's saying, I want to undo any Nedarim I did take over the past year. Says Rabbeinu Tam, that can't be the case. Nedarim, Kol Nidre, is based on what we just said. You're being Mevatel in the future. You're preempting next year's Nedarim, which is why Rabbeinu Tam flipped the Girsa, changed the text, and thought that we shouldn't say Yom HaKippurim She'avar to this Yom HaKippurim, we should say from this Yom Kippur to the next Yom Kippur, meaning all of the Nedarim I'm going to take from now until next year, gone. Have a batel ka'afra ka'ara. They're gone, they're meaningless to me. So we changed the text. If you look in source number 4, it's very long. I cut it, and it's still very long, but this is the Rush in Maseches Yuma. The Rush argues that the Ranin tries to defend the fact that really Kol Nidre is a practice of undoing Nedarim from the previous year. The problem is that when a person wants to undo a Neder of the past, they have to first of all have Charata. What does Charata mean?
Regret.
Excellent. You have to have regret, which is a process of Tshuva, right? Which is part of Tshuva process. For Nedarim also, a person has to regret the Neder they took, the vow they took, then go to a Chacham who says, or a Beis Din of Chachamim, and say, I regret this nether I took. And they'll say, yeah, we hear that. That was a bad idea, that nether. And they'll allow you to undo the nether. How many people before Kol Nidre sit there having charata? Another question. Where's the Beis Din during Kol Nidre? You're supposed to go to a Beis Din of 3 Rabbanim to mouth your nether. Where is that during Kol Nidre? Everyone's saying things, but no one's being kovei at any Beis Din. There's no set court in front of you that you're being mouth your nether in front of. So the Rishonim are very bothered. How could this possibly be an allowance of all of the vows from last year? It must be that it's talking about next year. Now, the Rush has answers to that. The Rush has a pushback to that. But what you end up with an halacha, if you look in source number 5, we do have this minhag. Leil Yom HaKippurim, Nohag in Lomar, source number 5, the bottom of page number 1. Nohag in Lomar, we say, Nohag in She'omer, sorry. Or She'omer, I guess. That's not really good Hebrew, right? Nohag in She'omer, it should be She'omrim, or Lomar, or not Omar, that would be one person. Not sure what the grammar is here. Leil Yom HaKippurim v'nogim she'omrim kol nidre v'chule v'achakach omer shechianu, etc. Like we see on Ma'ariv night by kol nidre night by Yom Kippur. Kol nidre is also a skula for having children. My second last child was born kol nidre night. It's got to be related, right? I said kol nidre. I came home. My wife said we have to go to the hospital. Malkiel Steinmetz. It's my cutest kid. You know what I'm talking about. You guys know what I'm talking about. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says over here. The Shulchan Aruch says that you're supposed to say Kol Nidre. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? The Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, but the old text used to say, from last Yom Kippur to this Yom Kippur, that doesn't make sense. Rabbeinu Tam changed it to say from this Yom Kippur to next Yom Kippur, because really it's about preempting all of future Nedarim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, we should really say, Yom HaKippurim Hazeh, Ad Yom HaKippurim Haba Aleinu Letova. In your Machzor, you have a mishmash. Remember, you have 2 girsos. The reason is because the Radvaz in a tshuva says that really we should try to satisfy both opinions. Kol Nidre could function as both, maybe. Maybe it functions as allowing the Nedarim from last year that we took, and it functions as preempting the Nedarim from next year. So we should combine it and say both Neschaos. That's where we get that text in our Machzor from. So what it comes out is that Kol Nidre is a very interesting practice, sourced in a Gemara, and maybe, you know, it originated all the way in the time of the Zohar. But Kol Nidre is a little vague exactly what it is supposed to represent. Is it really supposed to represent a Hataras Nedarim of the previous year's vows? Or is it supposed to be a preemptive measure to avoid having any new Nedarim, any new vows in the future? That's a little bit questionable. If you look in on page 2 over here, if you flip the page, so we have this other custom of Hataras Nedarim. What's that? Erev Rosh Hashanah usually, here, we're going to get to this hopefully, but the women often don't get around to this one. Women often don't get around to it for a very technical reason, honestly, because men go to Shacharis in the morning on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and not as many women go to Shacharis. So even if they knew to do Hataras Nedarim or want to do Hataras Nedarim, When are they supposed to do it? Where are they supposed to do it? So we'll talk about, you know, their chiv and that and how they're supposed to go about that. But we do have this practice that we're aware of Atars Nedarim, right? Of being Matar Neder before Rosh Hashanah. Where does that come from? So it's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. It's not from there. The Shla HaKadosh, the Shari Tshuva in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tav Reish Yud Tes, I believe in Aruch Chaim, quotes this, or sorry, in Simen Tav Kuf Pei Aleph in Hilchos Erev Hashanah. In Hilchos Erev Hashanah, the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Shla HaKadosh. And if you look in source number 7, I brought it for you from the Chai Adam, where it's easier really to read. Noah Gim Lasos HaTarz Nedarim Be'Erev Hashanah. We do Atars Nedarim, we allow our Nedarim, meaning we nullify any vow we took in the previous year on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why do we do that? What does that have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Kedei li'natzel me'onesh nedarim. It's a very scary thing to take a neder and not fulfill it. And we're worried about the punishment. So in advance of Rosh Hashanah, when we're doing tshuva, and we're trying to avoid any punishments during the rest of the year, we say, you know what, all those nedarim I took last year, they're gone. They dissipate. I don't want to have them on my shoulders anymore. That's what the Chai Adam says over here. So this practice of Ataras Nedarim is really because Kol Nidre is kind of vague. Is Kol Nidre really allowing the Nedarim from last year? Not necessarily. It's probably preempting the Nedarim for next year. Even if we have that new, remember we have two sentences, last year and this year, next year, even if we have all of that, it's questionable whether it really works to allow all the Nedarim from last year. So because of that, we shtup in another Ataras Nedarim that really addresses all the Nedarim from last year. And if you read the text of Ataras Nedarim in the back of a machzor, in the back of a siddur, you'll see it means all of the vows I took over the course of this year, and it delineates all the different types of vows that a person might have taken. It says all of those should be gone, should disappear, and I want to not hold of them anymore. I want to do away with them. And then there's a basin sitting in front of them who says, Mutterlach, 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 everything is permissible, and all the vows go away. The Chai Adam points out, this is so important. The Chai Adam points out, I think he has a lashon over here. Yeah, in the second line, in the bold, on the left side, Gam Sarach Kol Adam, he said, you have to make sure you realize the following thing. This is true about most things in Judaism, so maybe we'll take time another opportunity to talk about this, if I'm invited back. But there's very few things in Judaism that are skulas. Okay, a friend of mine, Rav Sharp, recently commented that somehow in history we switched from the Am HaSkula to the Am HaSkulos. All of a sudden, we're obsessed with skulas. Everything you have to check a mezuzah. Everything you have to, I don't know, do something else with the mezuzah. It's always involving the mezuzah somehow. But, you know, there's so many skulas that are out there, and usually they're pretty cheap, but you do have to pay for them, right? You have to pay for them. You go on Yeshiva World News, you'll find a lot of skulas. If you click the right buttons, you can get a skula. Baruch Hashem. Okay, ask the last people who clicked if it worked for them. That's not the point right now. But very few things in Yiddishkeit really are skulas. Usually, Yiddishkeit, Judaism, involves understanding, relating to Hashem, doing mitzvahs, following rules. That's usually, if you see that, that's usually more Jewish than a skula. Skula you want to ask about. So, except for the Kol Nidre thing with having cute babies, that really works. I'm telling you, I've done it. It really worked. It really worked. So what's this? Is this a skula? Hataras Nedarim? So the Chai Adam says, Chas v'shalom, it's not a skula. This is not a tchina. This is not some like Kabbalistic text that we're reading. Scan with your eyes, but don't pronounce the words. If you know, in the matzah when you see that, that's not what this is. This is a person admitting in front of a basin that he may or may not, she may or may not have taken a vow over the course of the year, and she wants that it should not exist anymore. You have to understand what you're saying. If you just read a bunch of Hebrew words, it doesn't work. So he recommends, if you look in the underlines, we were just talking about this a moment ago in terms of davening, but he recommends in terms of Ataras Nedarim, a person should really say it, the Lashon Laz, which means in the, you know, in the dialect which that person speaks. So we should say it in English. We should say Ataras Nedarim. There's no mitzvah to say it in Hebrew. If you could do both, that's fine. If the people want to sit there and listen to you talk for an hour, that's fine. But you should really say it in a language you understand. Okay, best you could read it in English so you understand it, then say it in Hebrew and you could get both. That's fine. But you're definitely supposed to understand what you're saying. When last 10 years I was in Yeshiva University, so I was able to see a few of the Rabbanim do Hataras Nedarim over the course of the years. So whenever Rav Twersky, Shlita, my Rebbe, did Hataras Nedarim, he always explained what he was doing beforehand for two reasons. One, you know, he understood the Hebrew, so it wasn't about that. But, you know, that is the din that a person's supposed to understand. Secondly, he wanted to make sure that the three young boys who were sitting on the beis din and mattering this nether for him understood what he was doing also. So he would say to them, Hataras Nedarim means this. I'm telling you this, I'm going to say it in Hebrew, but this is what it means. And it feels like you're being babied, but that's what you're supposed to do. Everyone's supposed to understand what's going on. No, which is a questionable practice because really you're supposed to, the Gemara says from her papa that a person is supposed to specify, you know, particularly what Nedarim they took when they wanted Matir Neder, but this practice is more of a general one. It's Nedarim that I sort of, let's assume it's more the Nedarim that I took unknowingly or unwillingly, wasn't really paying attention when I did. But if you had a specific thing, if you took a Neder this year, better is to ask, you know, a friend to arrange for a beis din to actually be matir neder, you know, for that specific one. Ideally. If you want, you could specify it's just a public setting, you know. There's always like, you know, everyone gets up and says taras and darim, and they're like, okay, shkayach. And like one guy gets up like, I took a neder like to be a good person, I was terrible. So like, could you guys be matir neder? And you're like, oh my gosh, there's 15 people online and you just said that in front of everyone. You know, like that's a little awkward. But if you could find the private setting to do it and you're comfortable, that's great. Mostly it's like chalav akum. The guy's like, I said I wasn't going to have chalav stam, and I pounded chalav stam the whole year. Like, oh, you're terrible. Why'd you do that? Yeah. No, I mean, chalav stam is great. It's delicious. I mean, just if you took another, don't do that.
I don't know. I find it extremely contradicting because in Qataris or whatever you say.
Who cares what it's called? Yeah. You think I care? I made up all the words before the shiur. Don't worry about it.
We say that whatever we promise during the year doesn't count.
Right.
We go back.
Right, that's the same as your question from before, right? Meaning you're like doubling up. The answer is, we're not sure what works for what. So we're covering all our bases. The things in the future shouldn't be nadarim. Then we look back and we say, those things in the past shouldn't be nadarim. I might have done something in the year to contradict that hatara or that kol nidre. So we're trying to cover all our bases. But it's the same question as before. It's 100% correct. We're just trying to cover all our bases, make sure we don't have any nadarim. Nadarim are very scary. We want to get rid of all of them. You're right. If a person didn't do Ataras Darim, by the way, by the time Rosh Hashanah comes around, it's okay. They could do it. The postman say it's ideal to do it through Asaras Mitzvah. If you have a specific neder, you should do it any time you're able to. It doesn't have anything to do with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But here, it's specifically related because we want to attain that kapara and avoid onesh. We'll talk about one last topic and then we'll end because I don't want to go too much over time. But I do want to get to source number 8, which is Rav Sternbach has a tshuva. Rav Meisher Sternbach has a tshuva about Ataras Nedarim be'er Rosh Hashanah le'nashim. Women, what is their role? When do they do Ataras Nedarim? Do they do Ataras Nedarim? So again, you basically don't find in practice women doing Ataras Nedarim very often. Does Yula girls have a special Ataras Nedarim or not?
Yes.
Okay, so then you...
Next week,
I was going to say it's Usher. Yeah. It's Usher and it's a Chil Hashem.
To do what?
Ataras Nedarim. I'm joking, you're good. it ruins Yom Kippur for girls. Oh no. So that's good. There you go. There you go. B'li neder, there'll be hataras nedarim afterwards. Okay. So no, the truth is that it's very, very questionable. Why is that so many women don't partake of hataras nedarim? So Rav Sternbach, who's not your run-of-the-mill modern Orthodox rabbi, he's very confused by this. Men and women both need hataras nedarim. They could both take nedarim, which means they both need to get rid of their nedarim if they don't want to suffer terrible punishments. So where are the women on hataras nedarim? So he explains, and this is really what all the posts can explain, very basic answer, which answers most questions like this. Ready? You're not going to like this. Hataras Nedarim, done by women, could lead to mixed dancing.
What?
Crazy, right? That's what he says. Not really. I'm making a little hyperbole, a little bit of a joke. What he says is basically as follows. To have 3 men or 10 men, however many men you're supposed to have, and have one woman walk in front of them and say a whole spiel about what she did that year, and then it's very uncomfortable. It's a lack of modesty. And because of that, the halacha is that you should not be koveya based in of 3 men, specifically for a woman to be matir Nedarim. Now, there are instances where that's necessary. If a woman has a neder and she needs to be matir neder, she goes in front of a beis din and is matir neder. This isn't saying it's usur for men and women to be in the same room. That's not the that point. That's a different halacha in Shulchan Aruch. This is, I'm joking, I want us to chill out a little bit. Sheesh. You have to hold that thought. So says Rav Meisher Sternbach, but this is again representative of so many poskim before him, including Rabbi Kiva Eger and others. That's really the whole reason that it stopped. Is there a way that women can be matir nedarim? Of course there is, but it just never happened because there was never a good situation, a good setup for them to do so. Which is potentially why it's such a special thing for, I know other girls' high schools that do this also, to set up a special ataras nedarim for the girls in the school near Rosh Hashanah time, because they're not going to have an opportunity to do it. They're supposed to do it, and we'll see in a second the other answer doesn't really work for them. So to have, you have Rabbanim on staff, I assume, who are in the school, so they're there already, you're not doing anything special and nothing inappropriate. They come and they say Ataras Nedarim and they're able to be Mekayim, this helpful halacha of getting rid of their Nedarim. It's a beautiful, really wonderful thing. The real answer that they give, most of the posts can give, Rav Sternbach certainly writes this in source number 8, you have it, is that if a woman is married, so her husband can be the shliach, can be the agent to be matir those Nedarim. So again, when I was in Yeshiva University, so I saw the two particular Rabbanim do Ataras Nedarim. Rav Tversky always did like this. He would explain Ataras Nedarim, then he would say Ataras Nedarim, then he would finish, they would say Mutalach, 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 and then he would say, I want to also ask the Beis Din to relieve my wife of her Nedarim as well. I'm acting as her agent, I'm acting as her shliach. And they would say, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. They would say the same thing. And that's how he would take care of his wife's Nedarim. He is allowed to be a shliach, an agent for his wife. Rav Shechter didn't do that. Rav Shechter never did that. And he always said that he presumed, and this is where Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes as well, and is quoted as saying too, that women can rely on Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre does probably work. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that it definitely works for the Nedarim that we're worried about, like the ones that were haphazard and weren't really intended. So it certainly works for those. So if a woman can't get to shul, or if for some reason over history at some point it was inappropriate for her to go to the basin that was there in shul, whatever the reason might be, it could be practical or fundamental, it doesn't matter. But if she's not going to make it to shul to do Atar Nedarim, it's fine. She's going to get Kol Nidre. If she's married, her husband could do it. If she's not married, she can get it through Kol Nidre. It doesn't really affect anything. Again, Rav Shechter, his Rebbetzin, he never did the Hataras and Dharm for her, and she would listen to Kol Nidre. He says, like, knowing the Rebbetzin, she was probably going to Hataras and Dharm behind his back, or she made a basin of women for that, whatever. She probably had some kunts, but officially, Rav Shechter's opinion on record is not that way. Yeah.
Why does a man have to do Kol Nidre and the Hataras and Dharm?
So again, same question. We're just doubling down. We're saying, let's do everything. Let's try to knock out all the possibilities. Ideally, you should, and you'll have an opportunity next week. We're gonna reinstitute it. We cancel it. We're gonna reinstitute the
chapter two.
Right? Yeah. She told me she wants to come back. She was just here a few weeks ago. She wants to come back. So, yeah.
Did Rav Tversky say the whole?
He didn't say the whole thing again.
He didn't say the whole thing.
Everything I just said should also apply to my wife, and we should relieve her on Dharma and say yeah.
How was the husband able to do a
target on behalf of his wife? Because it's a very good question. There's a concept in halacha of shlichus, which means that you're an agent. So I can appoint someone to do something for me. Let's say I want to marry someone. So I can ask a person to take my ring, bring it to that lady and say, you know, Jonah wants to marry you. I shouldn't do that now. I'm married now, so I shouldn't do that now. But I could have done that at an early stage in life. That's called shlichus, agency. I'm allowed to appoint someone to do my bidding. So a wife is allowed to ask her husband to please go take care of Hataras Nedarim for her. So he can do it on her behalf. He can do it on her behalf. I don't remember. I have to look back at the sugya. Why is it dafka her husband? I think the Rishonim do talk about this, but I don't remember. But I get points for being honest, right? Yeah, okay.
Can the father do it for his first daughter?
Same thing. I don't remember, meaning it's the same question whether a father does it for the daughter. There is a concept in the psukim already of the father being mefer nadarim, but it's a different category. Probably, yes. Probably you can appoint the shliach from your father also to do it for the daughter. But again, you could have an opportunity in school, and you'll have the Kol Nidre to rely on as well. So you have multiple avenues.
This just might be the answer. Recently in halacha class, we were just learning how when God created man, he created man and woman together because they're like one person, which is why a husband can do.
Achar v'kedem sartani, right? That's the.
Yes, that's why a husband is able to do something.
Right. I mean, they were really one. They were really one being. It's a beautiful. It's a beautiful explanation. Yeah. They're more closely knit than any other two people. Very beautiful information. Yeah. You want to get in a word edgewise?
I don't want to. What is a practical question? I'll keep it close to the question. The practical question, if the girls are doing it, does it matter if they're doing it one-on-one where the Tversky comes, or can we do it all?
Great question. Meaning, can they do it all together?
Yeah, you have one basin up there and everybody says it together.
Right. So I think the post can do say, technically speaking, that you could do multiple people at once. I think they do say that. There are reasons to avoid it. Maybe it's hard to hear. I'm not sure if there's...
That reduces the modesty issue that you're... Sure,
yeah, 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 yeah. But also just practically, how many girls do you have in this school?
211.
Right. But assume, let's say, one of them has COVID. So 210. So 210 girls, that's going to be a long time of a one-on-one. It's probably normal to do a little bit more than one at a time, for sure. Yeah, just we'll end with this. There's a very, very beautiful idea connecting hand up or just... All right, fine. It's one of the chutzpahdik ones you're saying. We'll do after. Okay. We're saving the chutzpahdik ones for when I have to run to Marav and don't answer you. So the last point is just, again, connecting the Taras Nedarim to Yom Kippur. So it's a very beautiful drasha that Rav Soloveitchik gave. It's printed in Al Tshuva. I also printed it last year from Rav Shechter's notes. It's a PDF. It exists online. You can find it on Gil Student's website and Y Torah also, I think. But we printed from Rav Shechter's notes from 68 or something like that. But he wrote down the Tshuva Drasha from the Rav. So it's a beautiful, beautiful concept as follows. The concept of Hataras Nedarim is very fascinating. You know, I did something. I took a neder. I made a vow. And now I'm saying I want to undo that retroactively. How does that work? How could you undo something you did in the past? And the Halacha explains, the Ramban explains, and others explain, that really when a person changes their will, changes their mind in the future, and regrets what they did, we have a charata, a very deep-seated charata for what they did, they can uproot the past and plant it somewhere else entirely. And that's the way Hataras Nedarim works. A person looks back and says, I don't want that. That's not me. They undo the neder and it goes away. It disappears, al pi halacha. Says the Rav, that's the concept of tshuva as well. And that's why Kol Nidre and Hataras Nedarim is so relevant at the time of Yom Nerayim. Because it's showing us the quality and the koach, the possibility of tshuva, to undo what was done in the past, to be oker, to uproot what was done in the past. And the truth is, if you look in source number 9, we won't read it together because we're out of time, but the Mesilas Yesharim really spells this out. And Mesilas Yesharim says that when a person does a real tshuva, when they really, really regret what they've done, they do kecharatas haneder mamish, he says. It's literally like hataras nedarim, that a person is able to completely change their history, uproot their past, and start again. So I give us all a bracha that we should be mekayim the halacha, or the minhag, or whatever you want to say, of kol nedre, of hataras nedarim, but that ultimately it should first of all cleanse us of any nedarim that could weigh us down, chas v'shalom, and ultimately it should really teach us the message and the lesson that we can internalize of doing tshuva, redoing ourselves, undoing our past, and b'siyat l'shmai will merit to a year filled with bracha and simcha and everything good.